Good morning. It's Monday, March 30th. I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Health conditions like concussions and tinnitus don't usually present externally, and patients can often feel incredibly isolated. But through music, some find relief. We'll hear about the KU professor who's looking into music's impact on the brain after the news. Thousands of Wichitans participated in the No Kings protest on Saturday in one of more than 3,000 demonstrations nationwide against the Trump administration. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish has more.
In Wichita, organizers say between 3,500 and 4,000 demonstrators marched down Broadway from 21st Street to Douglas. 17-year-old Jackson Rooks was among them. He says he started protesting after President Donald Trump claimed diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives contributed to the crash of a Wichita-based flight in Washington, D.C. last year.
Very empowering to get out here and get your emotions out in a very healthy way with a lot of people and see that we're not alone.
Rooks waved a 35-star American flag, representative of when Kansas joined the Union on the brink of the Civil War.
We were on the right side of history then. We can be on the right side of history right now.
For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
If you've driven through South Wichita recently and felt like the smell of sulfur was a bit stronger than usual, it's not in your head. KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
The city's main wastewater treatment plant is at 57th South and Hydraulic. When wastewater is processed there, the plant releases hydrogen sulfide, which causes that sort of rotten egg smell. In recent months, the city has started major renovations at the plant. That means at times, certain processes have to go offline, making the smell more pungent.
During construction, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
That's Gary Jansen, Wichita's Director of Public Works and Utilities. He says there is good news, though. Part of the renovation is actually aimed at reducing the odor, eventually. By this time next year, Jansen says people should be able to tell a major difference, and even more so by next winter. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Caudill.
Parking at Wichita City Hall will cost $1 an hour now that parking kiosks have been installed at the building. Parking has been free for the past several months after officials relocated a pair of control arms to another downtown garage. Assistant City Manager Troy Anderson says residents should think of the cost as a user fee.
Paid parking at City Hall is nothing new. In fact, it was actually technically more expensive to park here than it would be anywhere else within the system. So one of the things we've been trying to do is just make sure that from an end user experience, the technology, the hours, the rates are the same.
Some visitors to City Hall can get their parking validated, but Anderson says the cost for that will come out of department budgets. Last year, Wichita lost out on $200,000 in validated parking fees. The Kansas Supreme Court dismissed Kansas Governor Laura Kelly's lawsuit against Attorney General Chris Kobach over legal power. State House reporter Zach Boblett reports on the fight over who can represent the state in court.
The court dismissed the governor's case against the attorney general and kept in place the status quo. The attorney general represents Kansas as a whole in court, while the governor can represent her office and state agencies she oversees. Kelly sued Kobach after he refused to join federal lawsuits she supported. Kelly argued the Kansas Constitution gives her office supreme executive power to execute laws. Kobach argued Kansas law gives his office control over the state's legal cases. Justice Melissa Standridge dissented, warning the decision leaves the power struggle between the offices unresolved. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Kansas City's Kauffman Stadium outfield will look much different this afternoon as the Royals open their home season. Sam Zeff previews today's game against the Minnesota Twins.
The K has always had an expansive outfield, but this year the Royals have shortened the fences. Center field is still 410 feet from home plate, but down the foul lines and the gaps have been shortened between 8 and 10 feet. Also, the walls have been lowered from 10 feet to 8.5 feet, except in center field. This means more home runs this season at the K, especially good news for All-Star Salvador Perez, who is closing in on George Brett's all-time Royals record of 317 homers. I'm Sam Zeff.
Downtown Wichita will hold a spring cleanup event on April 24th. The event prepares downtown for visitors as spring arrives. Volunteers will tackle everything from landscaping to graffiti removal. Last year, nearly 200 volunteers joined the effort to keep downtown clean. People can check in at the Downtown Wichita offices located at 501 East Douglas Avenue. The cleanup runs from 9 to noon. It's open to the public, but registration is required. You can find more information at downtownwichita.org. Sedgwick County firefighters are reminding people that a burn ban will be in effect for the month of April. The ban is intended to cut down on air quality issues for children, older people, and those with respiratory issues. No open burns will be allowed from Wednesday, April 1st through May 1st. Wichita Fire Battalion Chief Jose Ocades says homeowners should also take time during the spring to create a fire-resistant zone around the property.
Clear all dead leaves, pine needles, and other dead vegetation from immediate 5-foot perimeter around your home. This prevents wind-blown embers from igniting the structure.
The April ban does not restrict the use of barbecue grills, smokers, or backyard fire pits, but people should watch for weather alerts that could prompt stricter regulations on burning. A Kansas senator is sponsoring a bill aimed at helping doctors better detect Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Republican Senator Jerry Moran has joined Republican Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia and Democrat Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota to support the bipartisan legislation. The act would use virtual continuing education to improve diagnosis and treatment of dementia. Wichita State is continuing interviews for the next vice president for student affairs. The Division of Student Affairs plans to interview 4 candidates for the position. The 3rd candidate, Katie Treadwell, will be on campus today and tomorrow. Treadwell is Assistant Provost for Student Affairs at the University of Kansas. Campus stakeholders are invited to a public forum with Treadwell at 3:30 this afternoon in the Harvest Room at Radigan Student Center. The new vice president will replace Terry Hall, who's retiring after nearly a decade at WSU. We'll have more after this.
Hi, I'm Fletcher Powell, program director here at KMUW. From the time Jonathan Huber tells you good morning before the sun comes up, till the time Chris Heim signs off long after the sun has gone down, we're here doing everything we can to make sure that we do justice to the commitment you've made to us with your support, and to make sure that we honor our commitment to you to serve you and this community in the best way possible. Thank you all so much for your support in our spring pledge drive and for helping us to reach our goal. We don't take this responsibility lightly. Thank you.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Lou Ann Stevens. If you've ever had a health issue that doesn't show up externally, you know how frustrating it can be to describe the symptoms, only to be dismissed by friends or have doctors tell you there's not much they can do. Noah Taborda sat down with a researcher at the University of Kansas Medical Center who's validating those feelings and hoping to provide a little relief.
When Dr. Lauren Mann suffered a concussion in college, she was juggling a double major and 2 jobs. No matter what she tried, she couldn't get back to her baseline.
I had horrible ringing in my ears. I felt like rest was just the overwhelming recommendation, and it really kind of lit a fire that I didn't think that was good enough. There has to be something to help people feel better and something they can do long term to get better.
Mann felt isolated, then inspired. She changed her major, got a degree in audiology, and later got a job with the KU Med Center. Slowly, her interest in music and brain health sprouted.
What happens in your head, in your brain, when you're listening to music?
We can use it to relax. We can use it to maybe inspire memory. And also, I think music, when we engage with each other, we can kind of tap into the people around us and their brain state. And I think that's the area I'm trying to explore more.
You're kind of looking at music from like that purely therapeutic lens. It's not like you're throwing on somebody's favorite rap song or country song, right?
Not yet. But I would love to do that. The area I want to explore is how can we use music to repair auditory timing when it is damaged, when it's not typical.
auditory timing is crucial to how the brain processes sound, noise intensity, duration, and frequency. And right now, Mann works with patients who have tinnitus, a phantom ringing that often stems from maladaptive changes in the brain that shift auditory timing. The National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders estimates 25 million American adults have tinnitus. About 2 million find it debilitating. Mann demonstrated some of those tests in her lab on me while we spoke.
Once I calibrate it to your head, it's got to fit pretty snug.
Normally, Mann uses a big cap she says makes participants look like supervillains. I got what Mann uses when studying in the field. A much smaller gym headband-looking thing rigged to measure brain activity.
I can definitely tell how relaxed you are and how much you're concentrating with something like this.
That's so odd.
Yeah.
With this, she can actually hear my brain, expressed as the sound of rain.
With an EEG. So the more calm you are, the more we're going to hear light rain, birds will come in. The more you're concentrating and focusing, the more we're going to hear that heavy storm.
A few seconds later, she puts me to the test. A few math questions that proved less than flattering. But if you listen closely, you can hear the rain change.
So what's 1 plus 1?
2.
What's 2 plus 3?
5.
What's 8 times 6?
48.
You're really working hard.
Man is looking for alpha and beta waves. That's how relaxed or alert I am. Increased relaxation can help tinnitus subside, as can improved sleep. There's still one question, at least for me, of what you do if you don't like listening to filtered noise or music.
Your brain is uniquely wired for auditory timing, and we use that information to help navigate our world. So your brain is actually using auditory information to help you reach your hand out and grab something off the table, to help correct that fine movement.
So whether you listen recreationally or your doctor prescribed it, Mann says our mind is always working in concert with music. With a little more research, it could provide relief to millions. I'm Noah Taborda.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. Have a good week. We're back tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.